Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
There are many challenges for those with Down syndrome and their families who live in rural America. Let's go in depth with Professor Heidi Berger with Simpson College. Professor Berger, what's your area of expertise?
I have a PhD in mathematics. It's in differential equations and discrete calculus.
All very important stuff that most of us don't understand. But what you've done is you've taken that knowledge and you've applied it to a situation that we can all relate to. And some research of yours has just gotten published with respect to access to specialty care for Down syndrome people. And so that's just very intriguing to me. What have you learned?
So this became interesting to me because I have a son with Down syndrome. And when he was a baby, there were a lot of things going on for him that were difficult in terms of medical diagnoses. And I started to think about how coordinating care can help people like my son. And that led me to realizing that there are specialty clinics for people with Down syndrome. And I wanted to first think about, like, what kind of access do people have to this kind of care? So how easy would it be for someone like my son to be able to go to a clinic and get some care that he needs? And so something I learned is that access is quite limited if you kind of average it over the country. So roughly 1 in 5 families would have difficulty going to get specialty care if they had a loved one with Down syndrome.
Well, you'll have to forgive me. Didn't even dawn on me that there would be a need for specialty care.
Oh, no. Yeah. And it wouldn't have dawned on me either if I didn't know my son. But what typically will happen with Down syndrome is that there are several kind of diagnoses that go along with the diagnosis of Down syndrome. So Down syndrome in and of itself can look very different from person to person. But it's typically associated with small stature, intellectual disability, some developmental delays. But in addition, it's very common that if you have Down syndrome, you also have congenital heart defect and may require open heart surgery for repair. It can be very common that you have issues with upper respiratory infections and maybe need more, like, maybe be more prone to ear infections. It's possible that with a diagnosis of Down syndrome that you're also at an increased risk for things like leukemia. So a kind of a variety of things. And so they've come up with Down syndrome specialty clinics to help families get resources to manage kind of that whole picture. So these are places where you can come together to talk with physical therapists, feeding therapists, social workers to kind of help with some of those developmental and intellectual delays, to help with school age things. But you can also be talking to doctors who can make recommendations like, have you been screened by a cardiologist? Have you thought about being evaluated with a sleep study to see if you have sleep apnea? So they can be aware of these guidelines for managing the medical care and then make some referrals to the primary care physicians.
More in depth after this. Continued my conversation about specialty care for those with Down syndrome with Professor Heidi Berger with Simpson College.
And so the regular pediatrician might not be aware of all of this suite of things that might be going on, and they might examine them in isolation,
right,
where they need to look at the relationships of everything.
Right. So a lot of these clinics are designed to support a pediatrician or a primary care physician and say, you know, we met with this individual and here are some recommendations we're making to the family, and they can work in conjunction with each other. So going to a specialty clinic would be something that a family might do, say, once a year or something like that, to kind of get like a big picture overview, ask some questions to people who see a lot of these kinds of cases, and then can continue with their regular care and routine back home with this information to support them.
I see. So it's like anything, that if you see a lot of cases, the more you learn, the more patterns you see,
right,
and so,
yep,
the better doctor you're going to be, or social,
yeah,
worker, or anybody in this network.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so where's the specialty clinic in Iowa?
There's one at the University of Iowa. They don't just work with Down syndrome. They also work with kind of a suite of developmental delays.
Okay, so if you live in Carroll or Mason City or, mm-hmm, Council Bluffs.
That can be a big trip. When you're going to a clinic for this type of appointment, you know, maybe on once a year type visit, these visits can take quite a bit of time, so maybe 2 to 4 hours, because you're meeting with a doctor, you're meeting with a feeding therapist, potentially a physical therapist, occupational therapist, social worker, someone to help with dietary needs, for example. And so to get a full evaluation, or to be able to get a big picture idea, these appointments will routinely take, you know, quite a chunk of time. And then if you add travel onto that, I mean, if you're having to come from across the state, that can really be a full day right there.
But I guess the person in Council Bluffs could go to Omaha or somewhere, right?
They could. There is another, they could, assuming that their insurance allows them to cross state lines. One of the issues here is that this care is more to prevent problems from happening as opposed to react to problems that are existing.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes that can be tricky to finance.
Okay, and so 1 in 5 people with Down syndromes, their parents, family, they have difficulty getting there.
Right. In large part because the travel would take too long. So we looked at, we thought about, like, if these, let's say that these appointments are taking, you know, 4 to 5 hours, and if a family has to travel on top of that, we looked at things within a 2-hour radius of each clinic. So we assumed that the clinics would be able to see an unlimited number of patients, which is a huge assumption that's definitely not true. And we assumed that all the patients in our model had full knowledge that these services existed, and let's say that they had approval from insurance to go. So in a perfect world where they know that there are these resources, where the resources have capacity to help them, where insurance will enable this all to happen, it is still the case that our model predicted nationally that 1 in 5 families would not be able to make it to a clinic just based on the travel time alone.
And the costs associated with it,
right,
I presume.
Right. Like not being able to take off more than a day of work to do this.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about specialty care for those with Down syndrome with Professor Heidi Berger with Simpson College.
Well, and so there are serious consequences for the patient.
Right. That's right.
Life-threatening, potentially.
Could
quality
be.
Of life.
Certainly.
Issues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you identified this, and do you propose any kind of policy changes, or does that go beyond what you do?
I think we're trying to understand what the situation is, but then policy changes could certainly be in the future work for that. So nationally, it's the case that 1 in 5 families will have difficulty getting to a clinic. But if we break that up regionally, it's even more pronounced in some areas. So for instance, in the South, it's closer to 1 in 3 families don't have access. The West is similar in terms of difficulties. Our model is also more heavily influenced by urban areas, and the clinics themselves are more prevalent in urban areas. So there could also be a huge difference if an area is rural compared to having a larger city. So for instance, like Los Angeles, Chicago, a lot of places along the East Coast, they have a lot of services because those are big city areas. So families would have choice of clinics to go to, for instance, like on the East Coast, because things are close together. There are a lot of urban centers. But for instance, in the Western region, there's a clinic in Denver that's really there serving families in Denver. I mean, not just Denver, but also Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, New Mexico. So, I mean, they have a much broader reach because of, I guess, just how the populations are laid out there.
Well, and you're talking 7 to 10 hour trips.
Right, right, right. So one of the big things that I think this can lead to is a need to think about how to get services to families. So I think this could build a case for more work with like virtual clinics or telemedicine. My co-author on the paper is currently doing trials to see about virtual clinics and see how those would work. So I feel like this can build a case for investing more resources into those kinds of projects. We can also, you know, use this kind of framework to figure out if we were to open another clinic, where should that be? And the tricky thing there is, aside from just identifying the need, you also have to have supports in place for people who actually want to run these. Like, it's very difficult, you know, if you have a hospital there to say, let's open a Down syndrome clinic. How are we going to staff that? How are we going to fund that?
Well, it seems that, as rural America continues to shrink and services in general at our hospitals are reorganizing and there's more focus on telemedicine, it would seem that this would be, you know, could be embedded in that general trend.
Yeah.
This kind of help.
I agree, because I feel like that's a more realistic way to get services to families.
Do parents of Down syndrome kids, do they all know this? I mean, do they all know that this is available, this kind of specialty clinic?
I don't think so. So that's a kind of current to future direction that I'm trying to take with the project. So I have a collaborator in New York who's been helping me learn more about what happens at a clinic, what are the barriers to attendance at a clinic, and what's the value added for the families who attend, who do get to attend the clinic.
There's got to be a lot of value added.
I would think so. I would think so. Yeah. But, you know, in some cases, you know, a family may not know that there are, I guess, they may feel like my child is healthy. Why do I need all this medical intervention? Or it's, you know, it could be worse. So why kind of drag them through this whole process?
Because it's not about now, it's about their future.
Could be, yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know that there are parents of Down syndrome kids listening. Any message to them that you'd like to share that I didn't know enough to ask?
Ooh, that's a good question. I feel like parents know their kids best. And so I guess if you have a nagging feeling that, you know, you have a question, something doesn't feel right, I would find your network to talk to, and know that these Down syndrome specialty clinics can be an option to just add to your community who is helping with your family.
Thanks to Professor Heidi Berger for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.